Just a quick note before we get started that this episode is part of our Blast from the Past series, where we spotlight one of the amazing members of the LA Tech ecosystem from our archive. And if you're a new listener or you're just looking for more great LA Tech content, dig into the back catalog. There are literally hundreds of conversations to choose from. Enjoy the episode.
You can take, maybe it's my primary character, maybe it's a secondary character. I can give that to my fans. They can then take that and create their own video shorts and share that on their socials. So all of a sudden now your fans become evangelists.
Imagine living your normal day and getting your car fueled up on demand. Seriously, check out LA startup Refill Fuel and enter code WeAreLATech for $10 off. That's Refill Fuel. It's amazing. Literally, you can be anywhere and have your gas totally topped off the tank and not even have to deal with it. No more gas stations. So go to refillfuel.com. That's refillfuel.com. Code WeAreLATech for $10 off. We could not do this without the community believing in our vision together. We Are LA Tech is independently funded, funded by you, the community. So to support We Are LA Tech, go to patreon.com/WeAreLATech. That's patreon.com/WeAreLATech.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brian Nickerson, and today I've got Louisa and John, co-founders of Toonstars. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Great to have you in the studio. So talk to us. Tell us, what's Toonstars?
So Toonstar is a mobile community where people can create cartoon live streams and also create animated video shorts. It's basically an inspiration of an idea that we had around animation and the notion that we feel that when it comes to the mobile space, that, you know, animation is very much underserved. We also think that, you know, the audiences in mobile are looking for super snackable content and also very interactive experiences. So I think that's the sort of the starting point or the inspiration for why we launched Toonstar.
So cool. So I was checking out the app, and it, to me, it's like you can, if you ever wanted to be a cartoon star, like a cartoon character and star, you can do it, and you can do it live streaming, right? I mean, that's as a consumer and either as a creator or a consumer, is that, am I getting that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So the idea is that, you know, if you've ever wanted to be a cartoon, you can be a star on Toonstar, and you know, we always talk about founders having kind of a passion for their business idea or for a certain category or industry, and both Luis and myself, we've done a lot of work, and we come from the studio system. We've done a lot of work on major animated franchises, but we've also grown up with cartoons, and we both were, you know, children of Saturday morning cartoons. We also, I'll speak for myself on this one, is, you know, I had a Bugs Bunny plush growing up and used to talk to Bugs Bunny plush, but Bugs Bunny never, you know, that other people could hear would talk back to me. So it's kind of this fun idea of like, if I were able to talk to Bugs Bunny, Daffy, any of these cartoon characters, what would that experience be like if I could have that type of interaction?
Yeah. So neat. Louisa, how about what's your favorite cartoon character to be?
That's a good question. So I grew up kind of like a fan of Disney, and, you know, spent some time working in the Mouse House. And for me, I really was a fan of, you know, one of my favorites was actually Lilo and Stitch. It was always really fun to watch like Stitch being crazy destructive, and he never really spoke, and I've always, and you know, he like doesn't say words, and it will always kind of was, you know, for me wanting to kind of know, well, what would Stitch say, right? And what kind of conversations would he actually have with Lilo if, you know, words were being like exchanged?
So trying to give some color for folks too who are listening on the podcast, like, as I was looking at some of the things that you showed me and playing with the app just a little bit, like you can be, you know, a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump character. You can be like an avatar character. Like there's a whole bunch of characters you can choose. And then it's like you're like live streaming. So almost like I think of this as almost like a live streaming Periscope, but you're a cartoon. Is that?
That's right.
Kinda, yeah,
that's right. And you know, for us, we really like looked at the live streaming space, and what was striking is that there's actually, you know, there are a lot of live streaming apps out there, and everyone's basically, in order to be somebody who's, you know, like a star in the live streaming world, you have to be really comfortable stepping in front of the camera. And it's sort of funny to say this in a podcast where it's like, I'm comfortable being in a podcast because, well, nobody has to actually see me live here, and you know, watching me perform in a way. But so we really thought about like, well, there's a whole population of folks who might have some really interesting ideas or things to say, or like, you know, or creative, like, you know, concepts that they want to push out to the world. But it's a pretty big sort of thing to get over of like, I'm going to step in front of the camera. And mm-hmm. What a fun way to be able to assume a persona. Like everybody wants to be able to assume a persona at some point in time, right? Mm-hmm. Like put on an accent, put on a hat, put on a costume. And this is a really easy way for you to do that. It's like, pop on your best, you know, Donald Trump impression. And, you know, what would you say is Donald Trump, right?
That's hard to mimic there. That we could go in a lot of directions there. But so this strikes me, the platform looks like you guys have created something, and it's almost like the sky's the limit in terms of creativity. What you think people might use it for and how they start to actually use it might actually be totally different, because like the creative possibilities are unlimited here.
Yeah. I mean, completely agree. I mean, when we've already seen a number of, you know, use cases emerge. We see people that are doing their own cartoon show. We see people that are doing what we call role plays or duets. And, you know, there's a case where, you know, they'll basically, we call it basically a Roger Rabbit. So they'll take a cartoon character and then do some sort of like role play or skit with a video of a live action person, or maybe they just put the cartoon character, you know, with like an Instagram photo and then sort of do some commentary. We're seeing reaction videos where people take something and, you know, to your point, the POTUS lens, you know, a lot, sure. There's no shortage of, you know, source material for that. So we're seeing people do reactions to, you know, Trump's tweets. You know, we're also seeing some type of like, you know, karaoke executions with music. We're seeing, and you know, to us, to your point, we think that's just kind of scratching the surface, because we've got some killer, you know, what we call killer feature sets on the horizon, mm-hmm. that are sort of next gen from what you're seeing right now, that we mm-hmm. think will sort of take what you can do, or you know, take how you can perform and express yourself as a cartoon character to the next level, but then also give audiences and fans next level ways to interact with those cartoon characters. Because you can do it, you know, now in a very cool way, but we've got some things on the horizon that'll be even more kind of immersive than what you see right now.
Wow. So fun. As you're live streaming, you can like move the camera closer, you can move it further away. You can pick a different background, right? So you can be like, you know, an avatar standing behind the Eiffel Tower, in different poses, moving those poses around, different hats, different facial expressions, all kinds of different ways to sort of play with this content creation.
Yeah, we think about the creation process. You know, as we were building the app, thought about, you know, what do you do in terms of like, well, when you're doing the role play and you're assuming a character, you know, what is it that we want the user to really like be thinking about? And the first thing is like, choose your character, right? Like, mm-hmm. who do you want to be? What character do you want to assume? Then the next question is like, where do you want to go? And that's where the backgrounds come in, right? So you can go anywhere. To your point, you can be in front of the Eiffel Tower. You can be in space. So people are putting, you know, like themselves in space. People are putting themselves underwater. People are putting themselves in, you know, funny movie posters, actually, mm-hmm. and being able to reenact things. It's really, it's just, the possibilities are endless. And this is just, scratching the surface as to what they're able to do. And we're learning a ton from like what the users are doing. And to your point, it really just surprises us to see the see the content that's being created. And it gives us more ideas of like, well, what else can we build to give and unlock all of these like creative ideas?
Yeah. So it seems like, and people can find Toonstars on the App Store.
Yes, it's in the Apple App Store. The Android version is coming soon.
Amazing. And so it seems like the tech is non-trivial here. Like there, it seems like there's a, like the UI is good. It's clean. It's easy to use. But like you talk to us a little bit about that experience from a you know, kind of product development standpoint, as you work up to the up to launching, like what are some of the things you're building and challenges you're facing from a technology side?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there was really just a lot of stuff, I think particularly around so the technology and programming of like what we've done is bringing together we wanted it to feel like real animation, so stuff that you would see in, you know, hearkening to the things that we loved as a kid, which is like true cartoons. Like when you go into Toonstar, you see cartoons. You don't see CG characters. It's not meant to be, you know, giving you the feeling of like a Pixar film. Mm-hmm. It's giving you the idea of like, you know, you're being immersed in the world of like, you know, Looney Tunes again. So really kind of like taking that true like animation frame by frame type of thing and translating and bringing technology to be able to create that. And then secondly, to your point, like the UI, that I think we really spent a lot of time going back and forth on that. And we're very fortunate. We had a very robust beta community and we learned so much in that. And it, something as small as like where your home button is changes the impact of like what the user path is, where do you want to drive them to, what are the important things. And, you know, like the thing that we learned probably more than anything else is just like to continue to challenge ourselves to simplify, like take things away, remove another button, like remove as many buttons as you can.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing is that we're also very much focused on making it as seamless as possible, and also expanding on, or I would say drafting off, existing behavior. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back to Luis's point earlier about, you know, there's been a major trend, and you know, we call it the selfie trend, and it's like, you know, everybody, I should say, but a lot of people, you know, want to show them doing something. And there's a way that you use your mobile device to be able to portray or create that kind of content. So for us, it's like we want to mimic that experience because people are used to that, but just now give it, you know, the context of like, this is basically you as a cartoon. So it's very much the same way you would do a selfie, or if you were going to go live, it's the way I would go live. So that behavior is not changing. And it's very, you know, simple, seamless to get to that point, one touch, and now I'm a cartoon character. So for those people that love role play, you know, they, you know, super creative, and they have ideas for what a character should sound like, or little bits of a show they can do. This is, you know, for us, we feel like it's a perfect experience for that type of creator.
And does the content need to be consumed within Toonstar? Like if you were going to do, you know, something really clever of a Bugs Bunny or something, can you send that to your friends? Can you send it out, or is all the consumption within? And how do you think about that? Maybe that's evolving too.
Yeah. So, great question. So the consumption actually is both on Toonstar and off of Toonstar. So, we really believe that it's really important for users, like when they create something that they're super proud of, they want to share it, right? Mm-hmm. They want to share it where their audience is, where their friends are. So whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, whether it be a text. And so Toonstar is enabled sharing across all different platforms. It has enabled you to be able to save it, to be able to mail it, do any of those things. And, you know, the way we think about that is that it's not about, you know, it's really not about just making this sort of like this, you know, this is the only place that you can consume and create. We believe in our creation process, and we believe in, you know, like how we're really giving consumers a really great, seamless way to create and bring their creativity to the platform. So we think that it's important to allow them to show off their creativity. And so, you know, being able to drive their pieces of content off of that. But the platform itself offers really, really unique experiences. Like there's nowhere else that you can interact with a cartoon character the way that you can do it on Toonstar.
Yeah. I was saying in the live show, right? You can comment, you can star, you can like clap for people, right?
Exactly.
It's interactive in the live show.
Yeah. So the live show is super interactive. You can star, you can send interactions. So you can drop, you know, in true cartoon fashion, you can drop an anvil on the character's head. You can throw a tomato at them. You can, you know, roll other objects in there. And it's, you know, that makes it super interactive, and that, you know, is a way for a fan to show their appreciation for the performer and the content and the character and the story. And then also get, you know, some recognition as a fan. And it also gives, you know, the creator something to react to have sort of that, you know, that really intimate connection or conversation with their fans. And that's something that we've seen when it comes to live stream. One of the real big benefits of cartoon live stream is that you have this intimate experience with this cartoon character in a way that, you know, you've never been able to do before. Yeah. So it's great both from like a, you know, it's both great from a fan standpoint, but also from a creator standpoint.
You're like breaking down the third wall, right?
Yeah.
And as a creator, you can change your cartoon character every single time, right? You're not like locked in and committed like every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can change. So the things that, you know, we by design are putting a lot of, you know, flexibility and, you know, call it either customization or personalization into the feature set. And you can change your characters, you can change your costumes, you can put, you know, we have character as a toast head. There are, you know, all sorts of, you know, some funny, some wacky kind of accessories. And then you can change the background. So going back to like, who do you want to be? What do you want to wear? And, you know, to us, we, in some ways, it's interesting because we sort of use an analogy. It's kind of a cross between theater and radio, but kind of like visual radio in a way. So it's, you know, you can, you know, decide what kind of costumes, but then, you know, you have props and all those things are happening in real time. So it's a really kind of interesting blend of those two things.
Yeah. So, share a little bit about the company. You guys are the founders. How, like, have you raised funding? Where in LA are you? How many employees? Kind of what's going on company wise right now?
So we are, we just closed a round of financing. So we're, you know, super excited about that. We've got some, you know, we've got some amazing, VC folks behind us.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to share who they are?
Oh, or? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you probably should mention,
give them
right?
A shout out. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So, we have, Graycroft is, one of our investors, and they've got a seed fund that's run by John Goldman. And, this investment came from his fund. We also have Science as one of our investors, and Science is a early stage, you know, their VC, also a tech incubator. And then we've got another investor out of Northern California, Social Starts. Mm-hmm. And then we've got another investor out of the UK called Manta Ray. So those are the folks that are behind the round. And, you know, for us, it was, you know, great partners. It's always nice to have capital, so, you know, we can expand on the vision and expand the team. But also, these are great partners, really, from a strategic standpoint, who, you know, when we met with, clearly, you know, quickly got the vision and have been able to, you know, step in with, you know, everything from guidance to introductions for partnerships to actually bringing partnerships to, you know, Science has a great background in, they've done a lot of top 10 apps, a lot of experience there. So good, you know, great group behind us there. The team is now seven people, and we're currently expanding. We're located out of downtown LA in the Arts District. I'll give another shout out right next to Blue Bottle. So we make a daily appearance.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Blue Bottle's coffee, and we try to make a daily appearance at Blue Bottle. But yeah, there's then, you know, in the downtown area, there's a good, heartbeat of startup activity that's happening. Mm-hmm. So we're there, there's some other kind of cool startups in the area. So you can feel, you know, there's some stuff, kind of happening along with like the rebirth of that part of town. You can kind of, you can feel that, in the neighborhood.
Yeah. You guys are a part of that. So how about, let's talk a little bit about the business model. A lot of ways to monetize, I would imagine. You got to get a lot of user growth. Are there things that you see, are you monetizing now? Are the things that you see, like, I think of some of the, you know, some of the, like would a Disney want to license characters onto the Toonstar platform at some point, right? Like something like that, where you could get a character, some of the things like Snapchat does some interesting things in that area. Is it e-commerce? Is it a subscription model? Like how are you guys thinking about the business side of this, or are we too early to even have that conversation?
No, it's never too early to talk about business models.
Thank you.
Or revenue.
Every entrepreneur, listen to this.
It's never too early. So we have, even as early as in our beta testing, we actually started testing some revenue models. And for us, we're still learning, but we're definitely exploring. So we did some IAP. In the app. So
just for folks who don't know, IAP, can you
in-app purchase?
Gotcha.
So people can buy. We tested like specific characters. We tested, you know, accessories, backgrounds. There's also the interactions that are within the app. Also, there's monetization in that, in making that a gift. So that, you know, when you throw an anvil on somebody, you're actually, you know, sending like a dollar. Mm-hmm. So there's that. We're evaluating, thinking about subscription. There's also, you know, there's also other like revenue models that we're still in the middle of evaluating. But definitely, like we're very much, you know, like it's never too early to think about revenue. And so we're testing to see what is working and what our consumers and what our users are really like okay with.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar? Do you know iGo Live? Have you heard of those, that company? It's one, there's a lot of live streaming services, mm-hmm. and this is in the, nothing to do with like cartoons, mm-hmm. but the reason I bring up iGo Live, they're big in China. Mm-hmm. And that notion, Louisa, you were talking about of when someone's doing something, you like send them money as that happens. I think the top influencer on the iGo Live platform in China last year generated $50 million of in-app, like people sending money, basically.
Yeah. The gifting ecosystem in Asia is ginormous. It's so big. And we see that. So there's actually a couple of live streaming platforms from China that's come here to the US. So probably the biggest one that's come here is there's live.me mm-hmm. that's come basically, you know, kind of making a run at the US market. There's also actually Musical.ly has Lively. That does the same thing. And, you know, I think there's actually quite a few that, you know, same sort of model. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see where that's headed here. It hasn't, you know, taken off in exactly the same sort of like scale as it is in Asia yet. But I think still very early days mm-hmm. For that model. And we're definitely, you know, thinking about it, keeping an eye on it, and really thinking about like how that works for us.
Yeah. Is that a cultural thing? Because I feel like I see, like I hear those numbers, I see it, I watch it, and I'm like, who is doing this? But maybe that's my own biases, right? Of being in LA and being from the United States
right,
or something.
Right. It's so funny. Like culturally, I would have thought and this is just, you know, off the top of my head, I would have thought that the Western markets would have been bigger in the idea of like the notion of gifting or tipping mm-hmm. because we're very much used to it. You go grab a cup of coffee,
so
you
true.
Tip, right? Yeah. You grow, you know, you have dinner, you tip. And that tipping sort of component actually isn't big in Asia. But what is big in Asia is like gifting money is actually very much like a part of the culture. So, you know, I can speak about China and Taiwan. You know, people receive red envelopes for a whole host of different reasons. You get married, it's a holiday, your parents, you got a good grades, like whatever the case might be, like people get money. They don't receive like actual gift, but they get money. And I think culturally, maybe that could be something that has an impact on, you know, like if you like something, you give them money. And I think that's probably, you make an interesting point. Like that's something that, you know.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, and you know, and a difference might be too, you know, if you look at the US market, a kind of a nuance of that, from because we've, you know, we've been doing cartoon live streams for a bit just to kind of experiment and, you know, before we launched Toon Stars, you know, kind of test our thesis. And, you know, we've seen tipping. And one of the things we've noticed with tipping, at least in the US, is, you know, it seems to be a little bit less about like, hey, I'm giving you a gift. And in the US, a little bit more about recognition and attention. So that's something that kind of, you know, seems to be, you know, not saying every gift is that in the US, but it feels like it's kind of more like, hey, I'll send you something. It's more about like, I want to stand out on this live stream with all these other folks that are there and me sending you, you know, $10, $25, even $50 is a way to kind of get noticed. But that, you know, that's something we've seen at least domestically as a kind of a trend.
So user acquisition, always a challenge with any app. Anything innovative you guys are doing? Are you paying for user installs? Are you partnering with influencers? Because there's a lot of entrepreneurs too who listen to this show who I think like they're launching apps, right? Or thinking about launching an app, and they want to have, you know, people, obviously, like the more people on your app, the better all of that business flow. So how are you guys? I know it's early days, but how are you guys thinking about that, and any lessons for other folks on the show?
You know, everything right now from a user acquisition standpoint is organic. So we're not paying. We're doing no paid media right now. And the way we're approaching it is, you know, part of the financing round that we closed, we also had another announcement with that we're partnering with Skybound, and Skybound is a studio behind, you know, they're behind The Walking Dead. They're also a studio that has, you know, a extensive library of comic IP, and we're going to be their exclusive live stream cartoon animation live stream platform. So
congratulations, that's great. Yeah,
yeah, awesome. we're super excited about that, and you know, we've been working with them for a bit, and they've been an amazing partner. And part of that strategy is that, you know, going back to, and it's a great question, because any platform, user acquisition is not easy. And how do you do it? How do you do it effectively, efficiently? And I think, you know, our approach has been, well, let's partner with creators that, you know, are bringing some sort of brand awareness or some sort of following, whether they're an influencer. And we've had, you know, we have influencers on Toonstar right now. We've been approached by a lot of influencers that really love this idea of like, wow, this, you know, I'd love to be a cartoon character, or I have a cast of characters in my head and I can do a show as those characters. We also have writers, the other part of that, you know, are performers that have some following. But the other piece, which is what, you know, Skybound is bringing, is branded IP. So we think about bringing some branded IP with followers to the platform. Now, all of a sudden, characters that maybe had only lived in comic book form, only lived on another type of format, now are live in content, sort of real time form. And we feel like that's going to help with, you know, the user sort of user acquisition push as well. So,
yeah,
I think that's in the center of the strategy right now.
That makes a ton of sense. I mean, the tools you're providing is like, you help people create amazing stuff, and then if they're sharing it, people are like, wait, how do I become a part of that? So it's kind of naturally viral, like almost the product itself has the potential to be naturally viral in certain ways.
Well, and that's a great, because what the other thing we've seen is this notion of create, whether you're an influencer, you're a creator, or you're branded IP, this idea that I can give this one, it's a super interactive experience to my fans that, you know, you're not going to get anywhere else, but two, I can give them, it's almost like a digital souvenir. So you can take maybe it's my primary character, maybe it's a secondary character. I can give that to my fans. They can then take that and create their own video shorts and share that on their socials. So all of a sudden now your fans become evangelists of your property, and they're out there talking about, you know, it's fully organic, fully social, and they're talking about your brand and characters, and it's an exchange for giving them this kind of like UGC experience. So mm-hmm. that we've seen has been very attractive to influencers and branded IP.
Yeah. Love it. So let's move into LA a little bit. Are you guys both from LA? Talk to me a little bit about your background and why the company and why here in Los Angeles with Toonstar.
So we both basically grew up here in LA and
natives. What?
Natives. Yes.
I'm a native as well. So.
Natives.
Hello, native.
Right. Woo-hoo. So yeah, we weren't really going to go anywhere else being that we're from yeah. here. No, but really, I mean, when we think about LA, it always surprises me that LA doesn't have a bigger, you know, sort of like compared to, I guess, San Francisco. Like, you know, why is San Francisco such a hub and LA isn't known as that hub? Because we're super innovative. We are very creative. Like, you know, we're the heart of entertainment. And I think, you know, that to us for our, you know, business, it only makes sense to be here because you need to be around where the fountain of creativity is. And just thinking about like almost like everyone that we've talked to in, you know, showing the app, and everybody's like, oh, I want to do that, or I have a show idea that I can do with that, or I know somebody who would be great for this. I think, you know, Toonstar was, you know, built in LA, and I think Toonstar really is just, you know, born out of LA because of also just the environment of creativity. And you know, like, I can't imagine this being anywhere else, just because, you know, like, where else are you going to be so inspired? You know, Disney and Warner Brothers is here, and, you know, Nickelodeon, like Cartoon Network, like this is the heart of it.
Yeah. That melding of tech and media is what you guys are doing, and this is the spot for it. Are there resources, so for other entrepreneurs that, you know, either might be natives or new to LA, are there pieces of the LA network that you think have been especially helpful for you in your careers or for Toonstar starting up?
I actually think that one of the advantages of LA is also you think about the academic institutions that are within between 45 minutes to 2 hours drive, depending on what part of town you're in. But you think about there's USC, there's UCLA, there's Caltech, there is the Art Center. I mean, you've got like brilliant scientists, you've got amazing artists, you've got, you know, you've got two schools that are, you know, a blend of all of those things. Like really, like anything that you would want to invent, you could probably tap into some really smart people mm-hmm. in those institutions to be able to talk to be able to gather research on. Like, I think that that's also something that's super unique, you know, like just kind of situated where we are.
Yeah. Love that. Great institutions here. So one of the things we love to ask of folks on the show is if you had an ask from the community. So we're a community of, right, supportive entrepreneurs, Long LA, a lot of fun startups, but for you guys, what could the community do to help you out?
Come make cartoon shows.
Pick your favorite character and start creating.
And again, going back to just, you know, the benefit of LA and just this being, you know, we're all biased. We're all, again, we should, you know, as native Angelenos, you know, we're growing up here and sort of really knowing what the city is about and what it has to offer, it really is, we're obviously all biased, but it really is one of the creative epicenters of the world. And, you know, I would say for the community, if, you know, you're creative and you have, you know, creative ideas and you're interested in entertaining people and you, you know, like this notion of doing it as a cartoon or animation, then, you know, come check out Toonstar. And you know, it's a lot of fun just to play with. And, you know, it could start out as just something fun as a hobby, and you sort of get started, and next thing you know, you build a big fan base and you start to monetize, or you just sort of do it and you entertain, you know, your 30 to 50 closest friends. There are a lot of ways from our standpoint to kind of derive fun and entertainment out of Toonstar. But, you know, for us, it's like, come just, you know, come give it, you know, come try it out. And we think, once you sort of, you transform, we like to say, you know, transmogrify into a cartoon.
Calvin and Hobbes reference. Yeah, that one's good.
Right. Yeah. Once you transmogrify, it's.
I always thought it was transmogrify. Fun. Am I pronouncing that wrong?
It might be. Is it? I don't know.
Mogrify?
Maybe it is transmogrify.
It's kind of it's a fun word. It doesn't matter.
I know. We love it. We say it all the time.
That's so good. John and Louisa, this has been a pleasure. So, before we wrap up, if you guys can give kind of full name, spell it out so people know. And how and where do people find you, both the company and you guys personally, if they want to connect?
Sure. It's so Louisa Huang, LUISAHUANG. And I can be found hanging out on Twitter, on Instagram sometimes, and definitely hit us up on Toonstar app on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook, also on Instagram.
Yep. So John... and I got that part. And then the last name's Atanasio. So it's Attanasio. And you can reach me, all the same places. So you can I'm LinkedIn. You can find me, Facebook, Twitter. And you can track us down on Toonstar. If you want to email us, it's our first name at Toonstar.com. So that's a really easy way to kind of, you know, directly connect with us too.
So it's time to transmogrify into your favorite character, and get on the Toonstar app and make this happen. You guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you. It's been great. Thanks so much.
We Are LA Tech is independently funded by the community. We couldn't make this happen without your support. If you too want to contribute to We Are LA Tech and see us making the podcast, building the mobile apps, creating the events year after year, consider contributing at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/We Are LA Tech. Thank you. We appreciate you.